This is the Riot Act Super 14 Rugby Review.
Good evening, viewers, and welcome to week 12 of the Riot Act Rugby Review.
Podcast,
even. Tonight we have John.
Hello.
Tim.
Hi.
And I'm Rob. And let's get straight into it. First game of the round, Cheetahs versus Chiefs. Cheetahs going down 32-33 to the Chiefs.
I think cracking game.
I feel cheated.
You tipped the Cheetahs.
I did tip the Chiefs
and then changed his mind.
Yeah, well, I thought the Cheetahs would actually have the guts to get up here, but they didn't. And full credit to the Chiefs for coming back strong, I think. I wasn't expecting them to play nearly as well without Sione Lauaki, who's reportedly undergoing surgery and probably won't be back this season. But, yeah, good performance by the Chiefs.
There's an awful lot of players getting very badly injured in this competition, aren't there?
Well, I think it's a result of the longer season as well.
We haven't reached week 12 yet, though, so at the moment it's still...
But inside, every year,
players go out at various stages of the season. This just seems to be happening later on.
Okay. Moving back to this game, though, the Chiefs will be very glad to squeak a win there, even if it was at home. So.
Yeah, it actually keeps me in good finals contention. And I think in this case, put the Cheetahs out of it.
we've got three teams sniping at the Brumbies' heels on 28, 27 and 27 points with the Bulls, the Sharks and the Chiefs, all contenders for that fourth place position.
Yeah, the Cheetahs were until this game, but it was one they had to win to stay in contention, but I think they've just dropped off the pace here.
I think we'll get that number down to two next week with the Bulls and the Sharks playing, so that'll knock one of those two out.
Yeah, it could knock the Brumbies out as well, of course. Okay, perhaps not against the Reds, sorry. I think the Cheetahs will go by the wayside. They'll probably fall off a bit more after this game. They've got the rest of their tour ahead of them. The Chiefs have a few games here and there, probably against some tougher position though. So
if you want to win the competition, you've got to be able to beat the best.
The Cheetahs have got three home games to finish off the season, and they could all—they're all very easily winnable games. They're Blues, Cats and the Force.
There could be 15 points.
That could be 15 points sitting right there for them. Everybody said to get into the semis this year, you're going to need at least 40 points.
I think it's going to be a little higher than 40 just because the bottom ranked teams haven't done as well as they should have. That's all we got to say about that game.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't watch it, so I can't say much.
Okay, now
it was a cracker.
Now the best one in my book: Reds 20, Stormers 24. Jeff Miller said in three disappointing years, it was the most disappointing moment of all.
Yeah, they were playing really well. The first half, the Reds were all over the Stormers. Even moving into the second half, first 10 minutes, that danger period in the second half, the Reds were, had strong field position, looked like they were dominating the play. Another good performance by Berrick Barnes and Julian Huxley in the centres, Ben Tune providing good leadership out wide as well, and stand-up performance from the forwards. And then, for some reason, Jeff Miller, subbed off most of the guys, took off Rodney Blake, took off Berrick Barnes, and one other player, I think, Mitchell Chapman, might have sat down on the bench as well. And then in the space of 3 minutes, the Stormers scored three tries.
Which they've always had the potential to do. I mean, they've got such a flashy team that if you don't keep your foot on their throat, they're going to do something.
That's right. I think in this instance...
But three tries in 3 minutes, not many people would pick that one.
No, especially by a South African team.
You change a couple of key positions on the pitch. I mean, look what happened to Brumbies last week. You lost Larkham and all of a sudden the momentum swung.
Although I'd still say that was a confidence.
And the Reds were, I think this happened to the Reds as well. They changed a couple of key positions and,
Suddenly, they're on the back foot.
On the back foot, you're going, oh my God, what's happening?
Huxley's missed a kick and they stopped scoring and lost the trot.
Now, do you think the players
just run through the gap and all of a sudden they're going, oh, they're reeling back, and it took them quite a while to actually sort of
regroup
and get back to the game. And by that point, it was a bit too late.
And it was the Stormers' replacements who actually did the damage, so... They made the good changes, whereas the Reds didn't.
Well, South Africans have dreadful talent identification, so their subs benches are often stronger than their starting 15.
It could have just been good timing and injection of energy into the team at the right time, the right place.
But theoretically, the Reds should have been fresh with all their subs. I've got to say, though, how do you think it's going to affect the players when the coach has made such an obvious tactical stuff up to be blaming them with the most disappointing moment.
Well, he's on the way out. Yeah. He's got three games to coach, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, I think it'll be hard for the players. I mean, they've got another big game to back up this coming weekend against the Brumbies, and you know they're lacking that. When John Rowe, David Croft, and Ben Tune are probably their key leadership positions, and you know if those guys aren't stepping up, Latham's still out injured. Of course, it was a late withdrawal.
Yeah, I'm quite glad to see Latham.
Which was unfortunate for them. Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since he's played now, hasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, so, but if you, I think if you have that disruption, if you haven't got the guys who step up for them and really sort of grab the game and say, right, this is what we're going to do, guys, if they're a bit shell-shocked themselves, it's going to really affect the team.
Yep.
And full credit to the Stormers for taking advantage of it. They have certainly have the capability, they just haven't converted it all season.
Mm.
Now, the big game, the one nobody would ever pick in a bazillion years, the draw between the Force, the bottom team with only two competition points versus the top team of the competition, the Crusaders. I got to say, there must have been money changing hands here. A draw.
No, I reckon the Force were ripped off. Yeah. Right, they should have come away with a win.
Force were, I mean, the video ref, not the video ref, the TMO, I'm sorry. The
Australian
TMO. The Australian TMO, yeah, but he's Perthican.
That is a term we're going to trademark.
There were two in the last 5 minutes. The Force had two tries disallowed. Now, one of them, fair enough, the player was probably offside after the ball ricocheted off someone's legs. But that first one, it surprises me that there weren't more cameras in a better position to take that picture.
Because
I had him over the line for all money.
I think the rugby union should get serious. There's an awful lot of money involved. They should be setting up dedicated cameras that are looking, because the TV cameras aren't set up looking for technical angles.
No, they should have them. They should have like your little.
Yeah, they don't need great cameras. I mean, even black and white would be fine, probably, but they just need to be.
Well, when you consider the number of contentious tries, going to the corner. I remember that one of Matt Giddo's a couple of years ago. He stuck it over the back of his head and he slid out of the pitch.
Just fix cameras at the right angles to get a technical shot of what's going on. Wouldn't cost that much, given the overall cost of staging a tournament like this, and making sure the TMOs are trained to use the equipment themselves instead of having to rely on TV producers, who in the case of internationals can be extremely partisan. There's been more than a couple of tests which have been disputed by last-minute TMO calls when the TMO couldn't get the right angles because the producers, normally English, just said no, we're not letting them see that shot.
Go on. Look, in terms of the game, this is an unusual one. The Force played quite well. The difference for them this time around was for the first probably about 60 minutes, they didn't make many mistakes. They started to introduce a few late in the game.
They were tired.
What was surprisingly different was that the number of errors made by the Crusaders. They rested a few guys. They rested Chris Jack, because of his ear injury. They had Greg Somerville on the bench, but they very quickly brought him on when they realised they were in trouble. The rest of the team was pretty much a starting team.
Yeah.
McDonald, Carter, Major,
McCaw,
Rico Gear. I mean, they had all the names. Mm. And still,
they were under pressure and they started making mistakes.
They didn't look comfortable. They made a lot of handling errors, which is very...
You're going to try and pass out of the tackle. How many errors are going to happen, though?
Yeah, I can't. Well, I watched the game twice.
Was it increased pressure by the Force, or was it just targeting certain members? No. What did
I think the coach has to play a part in it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Mitchell, he benched a couple of guys for this game. Okay, he benched Fitter. Cannon was out injured. Fine.
No, they lost there.
No, well, he's been playing reasonably well. But benched a couple of guys. Okay, they had a few injuries as well. But, I think they're saying, right, no position safe. You will go out there and play your guts out. And they did.
Yeah.
They were unfortunate to lose Scott DeRuiter in the first 5 or 10 minutes or so with injury. Yeah, another sort of midfield injury for them.
Yeah.
Brock James, that played surprisingly well, had good field position on his kicks. And they played exceptionally well across the park.
Really good pressure. Really put pressure on. The bookies, if Bookies playing the spread.
Yeah, the bookies won this one, didn't they?
No, if they were playing the spread, then they would have lost their little hearts out.
Yeah.
But no.
Well, anyone who bet on the Force would have come away nicely, wouldn't they?
I think the Force will take, great heart out of this game.
Oh no, I think they'll take
huge. Well, let's face it, they're playing the Cats next week, and
coming off that game against the Crusaders, they'll be full of steam.
They'll be rehearsing that victory song, won't they?
They will. That'd be
awesome. I wonder if they'll do a recording and like put that out on Perth Radio.
A real shame for the Force fans that they couldn't pick up their first victory at home
against the
premier team of the comp, let's face it.
It would have been kind of ironic if the Crusaders go for the win and the only team that only gave the loss against the Force.
Alright, shall we go to a song?
I think we'll go to a song.
And that was The Other Night by the Amber Jets.
Now, on to
our favourite game.
The most exciting game of the round.
Brumbies 21, Hurricanes 16.
I don't know about the most exciting game.
It was pretty bloody exciting.
Well, they're watching the clock tick down from minute 30 while the Hurricanes are on the line saying, will they please just hurry up and drop the ball?
Certainly the one we had the most vested interest on, particularly now, out there freezing our asses off.
It was a cold night, but the Brumbies midfield smashed the most highly rated midfield in the competition.
Yeah, look, this was a cracking game for the Brumbies.
Joel and Choker and Mark Girard, they all stepped up.
Girard played himself in a Wallaby jersey.
Easily. Look, whenever the Brumbies were in trouble, it was a case of flick the ball to Girard. He ran them out, he passed it out, he kicked it out. Kick them out of trouble. He was the go-to man.
Now, Gerard's always had a booming boot, and with no Larkham there, he got the ball more.
Do you reckon because of the cold weather, we sort of elevated the pitch by about, 1,000 feet to get a bit of altitude? A bit of kicking? His boot, he had a cracking game.
It was go-to man, but I got to say,
and made good ground.
Joel and Gene, both of them stepped up, and they played their hearts out. And they played 80 minutes worth of it as well. It wasn't 60 minutes and get them subbed off and let somebody else in there. They were both out there on the pitch, whole 80 minutes, played their hearts out.
Against the best midfield in the world, though.
This is interesting, actually. I mean, we've made some criticism of Laurie Fisher in previous weeks where he's made some subs. What we thought was some strange substitutions.
We did acknowledge last week that it was going to pay off.
And this week, he didn't make those subs. Do you think that made a difference?
Oh, totally.
Because those guys were, you know, just on fire. Jerry Collins just kept running at Fairbanks all night and just kept getting knocked over.
Collins had some good runs and made some...
Oh, look, the guy is huge.
Made some monster tackles.
He got taken down. He did not break the... Well, he might have broken the line twice. But yeah. Let's face it, he was their go-to man. He was their version of our choker. Yeah. And the guy is huge.
They ran him at Gregan with some success at a couple of points in the game.
But each didn't get through. They blocked him off totally.
No, this was a very impressive performance across the park from the Brumbies.
Except the scrum.
No, even the scrum.
No. Okay.
The scrum was contentious. The set piece, the rest of the set piece play, other than the scrum, was very good. Had some good rolling mauls against...
Yep. Yeah, always got a trial point.
What's quite a comfortable pack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously not one of the best packs in the competition, but still quite solid.
A lot of All Blacks in it.
Still quite solid. And, you know, you look at the back row's performance against what's, you know, arguably the best back row.
Well, George Smith's performance against...
You know, George Smith, okay. But even, you know, Wallace Harrison. Mm. Another great performance from number 8.
Yeah.
You know, Heenan makes some good breaks and some, you know, fantastic work rate.
Great work effort.
Really impressive across the pitch from the Brumbies.
I've got to say one thing.
The only person who didn't make a huge impact was possibly Rathbone.
Yeah, Boner. Pretty quiet.
Mm.
He's had a few quiet games lately.
A couple of great hits off the kickoff. They'd line the team Grumbies up to kick it one way. He and Choke would suddenly swing around to the back and go the other side, and he'd come charging through as Gerard had kick it the opposite way they were lining up for.
Yeah.
And just twice he hit the ball receiver, just as the ball hit his hands, or just as the receiver hit the ground, and Boner just came through and smashed it. That was great to watch. He was flying through at a million miles an hour.
Do you think this is a bit of a cunning ploy by the Brumbies? And perhaps not displaying all the weapons?
You think they're keeping Boner's powder dry?
You know, we look at the early on the season, George wasn't running. He was coming under criticism again for not running, and particularly, you know, how Cordingley was making some great metres around the pack.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, the defence was lining up outside, and we're seeing George make some great runs close to the pack.
Yeah, he made getting some wild good runs.
Some fantastic yards.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a ploy by the Brumbies to say, look, let's not go that way, one man wide?
I know.
And we'll save that for a bit later on in the competition.
I know it's something that Gregan's had weighing on his mind for a long time since, I think it was 99, maybe 2000, where the Brumbies had been front runners all the way through the competition and then started getting smashed in the final rounds when people figured out the game plan. He said,
"That was 2000.
Yeah, you've got to keep the game plan varied, and you've got to keep using different weapons so that when you get to finals time, you can do like they did 2 years ago, and just unveil everything in the final that the opposition hasn't seen."
That was just a totally different game. It was just blitzkrieg.
Yeah, but that was Gregan's master plan brought to fruition as well in that game.
Yeah, gotta say, somebody who didn't have a very good game, the ref.
I thought it was relatively innocuous.
In retrospect, it wasn't too bad. There were a couple of shocking.
When you're standing in the bleachers, you tend to...
Okay, when you're standing right behind the ball being thrown into the line out, and every time the Hurricanes hooker is just throwing it 2 feet to the left or 2 feet to the right. Mm. He doesn't... The only time, when I was standing right behind him, called out, "Throw it straight, you mug." And that was the one time he threw it straight, and guess what? He lost it.
Yeah
I mean...
Yeah, it was interesting. When I had a second look at the game with a far more analytical and
sober
eye, and it wasn't too bad. There were a couple of shocking decisions. There's one, you know, that George Smith, you know, was pilfering the ball yet again, and was called as being a ruck, and clearly he was the only guy standing over the man.
So George Smith is going to get penalised.
He will. But I mean, he had a cracking game and really showed up Chris Massoi in that regard.
A number of high tackles, high and late tackles, and offsides.
Yeah, that one that Jason Eason put on George Gregan was... I was surprised that wasn't called up because it was a similar incident later in the match where, you know, a player was taken around the collar and
by the
Brumbies, and the penalty was awarded.
Yeah. I thought the refereeing was no worse than we used to.
But he let the game go, is all I can say for him. Yeah. But I did think he let it go too much, and especially in regard to the offsides.
Do you think the cold weather had anything to do with the win?
Oh, you think the Wellington would know as much about cold weather as we do?
Yeah, they shouldn't they? But look, great performance by the Brumbies across the park, and good performance by, you know, the replacements in it at half and centre.
Will they be able to maintain the tempo, or is that their grand final played?
No, I think they'll be able to maintain the tempo.
Especially against the Reds.
Wilson, you know, Wilson stepped up. I'd like to see Fairbanks run at the line more rather than across the pitch.
Fairbanks' first 10 minutes was good. After that, he sort of faded back a bit.
A bit like when he came on for Burnie against the Waratahs.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's still a young bloke. He's only 23 years old, 22 years old, so... we can touch him a thing or two.
But that was
so, Gene, listening to our podcast, we'll give you lots of tips, mate.
They both played very well, and...
well, that's
the Brumbies' defence was
Yeah, they'll do well again this week. No. The only concern, of course, is Ashley Cooper's injury.
We're running out of backs, so.
Yeah, we've always got more wings in this town.
I'll pull my boots on.
Having never played games in our lives, I don't think they'll be calling us.
No, probably not. I'm sure there's plenty of able-bodied replacements who put their hand up.
All right, next game.
Email your CV to rugby@rideact.com.
Now,
we'll pass it on to the right people.
Now, Traitor Gitto was on the sideline with his Ponzi scarf tied in Melbourne style.
Yeah, you were sitting on the sideline and don't think you've got a suit. A bit of thermals under that, I'll tell you.
Are there going to be any hard feelings as a result of this? I might add, I emailed Matt Gitto and about 6 hours afterwards, there was a flurry of media he was doing, just not us. That might have had something to do with calling him a homosexual in last week's podcast.
No, you didn't.
I said he's not, definitely. But just bringing that into the conversation, I don't know, maybe he's holding that against us. But do you think there's going to be hard feelings about this one in years to come?
I don't know. I think it was a hard decision for him. I mean, we'll discuss this a bit later on. Yeah. But, you know, the money being thrown around by the Western Force... is of a concern not just for the Brumbies but for the
shall we get back to this?
I think it's a shame to lose the Git. We did talk about it last week that he would be going. We weren't completely scooped, you know, because a lot of the other talk was sort of very alleged, but I think it's disappointing for losing.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Sharks 32, Blues 15 in Durban. Sharks turning into contenders, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very tidy. I mean, they've been pretty good all season. I mean, they had a good tour earlier in the year with a couple of clinch wins. Oh. You know, you weren't expecting, and they've got an easy run home, well, a relatively easy run home at home.
They're the contenders, along with the Chiefs and the Bulls, for that fourth spot, and putting pressure on the front four.
The interesting thing was, Blues were expected to do much better in this game.
I bloody expected them to do much better, but they didn't. trusting Aucklanders.
It's hard to tell whether it was the...
With South Island, I've got to start. So.
It was the travel around the world, you know, halfway around the world to get to the game, or not.
Travel is a factor, but it hasn't been a determining factor so far this season.
Not by this much.
If you treated that as your sole
determining
factor...
You'd be in trouble. Sharks, you know, resurgence... this season has been the recruitment of Tony Brown.
Yep.
Without a doubt, he is.
He certainly helped the New Zealand tour, didn't he?
Yeah. Like, he has been a real key player for the Sharks
just,
this season.
Just his vision and kicking ability?
Yeah. Yeah, like he's got, you know, I don't know whether...
It was always a classic New Zealand fly half, though, wasn't he?
I don't know if it's anything about the New Zealand, you know, perhaps New Zealand fly halves that have made that play the game, but he's got much... He's just got a control of the game. He's given to the guys around him, and he goes about his business in a very unperturbed and professional manner.
Mm.
You know, brilliant field position. You know, kicks for field position, stops the ball from pretty much anywhere. So he's not too far behind the Hoogards of the world in terms of kicking, and he just gives that confidence to the rest of the team around him.
Mm. But unlike Hoogard, he actually unlocks his outside backs.
That's probably the difference between a New Zealand fly half and a
South African fly half.
I mean, we'll get to the Blues game in a sec, but Bulls game, I said, in a second. But you didn't see Habana on the scoreboard in a 46-17 scoreline, did you?
No. Okay, moving on to that. Bulls 46, Cats 17 in
Victoria.
Never tip the Cats. No one tipped the Cats out of our comp.
Yeah, well, the Bulls have almost a stronger winning percentage as the Crusaders at Jade. And the Brumbies at Canberra Stadium, at Loftus Versfeld. So, I think that was a bit of a no-brainer to tip the Bulls here.
46 points is a lot for the Bulls.
Yeah, like, again, lots through the forwards. It amazes me that they've got such brilliant outside backs in the likes of Habana and Ngani, and they don't use them much. You know, Habana's probably the best finisher in terms of, in world rugby at the moment.
Yep.
But they're not using him. You know, he goes, he gets intercept tries, and that's the only time he scores.
That's his game. Is that,
well, I think he's got more game waiting to happen if he starts getting the ball flung to him when he's running at pace into holes.
You know, they've got the centre pairing to do it. You know, JP Nelson picked up a try here as well. You know, so they've got the guys there. They're just not passing it to him.
The Afrikaners don't enjoy seeing flying backs racing over the try line.
He's one of their black players, so maybe that's one of the issues.
I don't know. I think it's a black thing. It's a wing thing. They don't like seeing wingers running into holes. They like seeing their big men rumbling through the centre of the opposition.
And crushing
all before them. Yeah, that's what they like. You know, so given a choice of scoring a try through a rolling maul or scoring a try through a classy piece of backline play, they'll choose to crash it up through the forwards.
I wonder why that is. What's wrong with them? Is it something in the beer?
Too much meat.
Yeah, too much meat. Yeah. Yeah. They just like crushing people.
Who are we to
criticise that?
That's right, you know. Well, we've Australian rugby's taken a very similar vein lately. We just put our massive players in the wings.
Yeah, well, where we watch them crush
the outside centres and wing positions, yeah. Where they run over people. So, another strong performance by the Bulls. I think they've got nothing but home games.
No, they've got three South African games, but only two of those at home.
Oh, yeah, but I think they'll be right. They'll have a tough game next week against the Sharks. But
I think Crusaders at home. That would be an interesting one.
Crusaders, Bulls at home, yeah. That could be quite interesting. Mm.
Crusaders can still drop out of first position.
They could. I think there was a bit of talk about the Waratahs being quite happy with the Force's performance, actually. I mean, for other reasons aside, of course. Yeah. But I think the Waratahs would be quite comfortable with.
Now, Waratahs won, Brumbies 4. That would mean another road trip.
Would mean another road trip. Oh, God.
Don't make me drink so much alcohol.
Yeah, bad.
All right. Shall we take a break? Anything else you want to say about that game?
No.
Okay, we're going to take a break for a song.
The Cats suck.
And we'll be back with the beer review and the general discussion.
So I'll destroy you, destroy you, destroy you. I will destroy you, destroy you, destroy you. I will destroy you, destroy you, destroy you. I will destroy you, destroy you. D-E-S-T-R-O-Y-U. D-E-S-T-R-O-Y-U. D-E-S-T-R-O-Y-U.
just a moment's pleasure. Can I believe the magic in your sight? Will you still love me tomorrow? Tonight with words unspoken, you say that I'm the only one. But will the spell is a love I can be sure of. So tell me now, and I won't ask again. Will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow? Will you still love me tomorrow?
This will be the Forces theme song for next week against the Cats. It's I Will Destroy You by Jinx Titanic.
Now then, moving on. The beer of the week.
Hagen Premium Malt Lager beer.
Okay. Now, it looks like a Dutch lager.
It's in a green bottle. It starts with H.
It tastes like a Dutch lager.
It's got a couple of A's with a little umlaut on the top of it.
Yeah, no, there's only one umlaut over the second A.
Yeah, but
it even does that classic European thing of saying beer, cerveza.
Yeah, okay.
French, English, and Spanish.
But yeah. The trick here is it's actually produced by the Australian brewer who also makes Woodstock bourbon and cola. That's right, independent distillers of Australia.
Mm. So they're lying gits. That's
it's right. Bogan beer. It's Bogan pretending beer. To be.
But then again, on their website. It shows a guy, two girls. So
a guy in a silky shirt with two sluts sitting on either knee.
So obviously this beer...
Look at that top. It's off the shoulder. She's a slut.
Okay. Apologies to all the sluts out there.
We love you, really.
They're going for, look, if you drink this beer, you will get a threesome.
Yeah, you will look sophisticated. Look, he's drinking it out of the glass.
With two hot chicks.
Yep, with two hot chicks. The hot chicks aren't drinking the beer, though. No. It's just the guy drinking the beer.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. What is it
saying? However, it is made in the traditional German style, following what's it called?
The Reinheitsgebot.
Okay. So basically following the laws as put down by Germany in 1605 or some silly date, whereby you have to have pure water,
the German beer purity law.
Yes, and done at a certain temperature.
All right, now come on, let's get to what the beer is. What do we think of the beer?
I think it is indistinguishable.
It's obviously green.
Well, it's in green glass. It's a light yellow beer. I think it tastes indistinguishable from good quality German beer. I think they've done a great job with it.
Yeah.
It's at, cost me, I think, $35 for a case. Now, they're only $330 bottles.
$330, yeah.
But,
that's not bad. That's not bad for a case of beer.
Yeah. It's the smallest case of beer. Mm. I mean, it's not like buying a block of Tui's New cans.
And I'd just like to say, Tui's New, if you buy a case of Tui's New at the moment, you can... I'm sure it's like the Boonie promotion that you can SMS in.
You get a talking Boonie?
No, you get a DVD of best moments of the Super 12 for the last 10 years.
Which we need to send away for that. We can do a DVD review sometime.
Well, there you go. Starts today, so we pretty much have to buy the case tomorrow.
Back to the Hagen Premium Malt Lager Beer, 5% alcohol volume, so for 330 mils.
1.3 standards.
I think it's quite good. You know, it's a pretty crisp.
It goes down very easily.
Very easily. You really toss them down your throat.
Yes. We're
actually going to drink all of this six pack before we get through our podcast this evening.
I think we're going to get through all the case. We've already finished the first six pack.
We got a case. This is fantastic. We might even get through the case in one podcast, which would be pretty impressive.
Especially as you both have to drive home afterwards.
Women
yes. Just call your women.
not bad. I reckon I'd go this one. I don't think we've had one we haven't recommended.
But they're still lying gits with their Woodstock promotions and.
It's not. It is what it looks like. They say proudly brewed by Independent Brewers Australia, right there on the front.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is on their web. This is off their website. Yeah. Okay.
Independent distillers.com.
One word. Independent distillers. But Hagen Lager recently has received an award in the top 5 imported beers for Australia by FHM. Now,
FHM couldn't tell it was a domestic
FHM, beer. Obviously, you know, a familiar magazine to some of our readers.
It's a global thing.
obviously have no idea where the beer is actually, you know, brewed.
They've looked at it and said,
oh, it looks horrible. But nonetheless, top five imported beers, so it must be pretty good.
Right, salary capping.
Salary capping. Salary capping won't work without a draft.
And it's not going to happen. The players' union are in it.
Yeah, not just the players' union, but all the rich unions are against it as well. I think what's happened this week with Matt Guido being offered those huge third-party transactions.
Do you think he's going to be the lucky one to get this thing before the AAU jumps in and says, right, no more of this rubbish, and that everybody else will have to stick with their team payments and the AAU payments?
Well, look,
they can't police it.
The team payments here, just reportedly being paid $250,000 by the force, okay? $500,000 on top up from AAU.
Yeah, plus okay. test
and,
payments.
And fine.
Everyone
plus,
gets that.
Yeah. Plus match payments, that's fine. And, you know, for one of Australia's top players, you know, I don't begrudge him any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, reportedly around $750,000, you know, whatever it is.
Not that the Gits seem to know what the dollars exactly were either when he was
I think he's kind of keeping it a bit quiet. You know, I suspect he knows. You know, worth of third-party payments.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a corporate payments. That's a lot of money for for the guys out there.
It's a mining company, supposedly putting the most of it.
Yeah. You know, where does it come to?
If that company
pulls out and says, "No, I don't want to see that name anymore," bloody mining companies in Perth, damn it!
Yeah.
I need to play rugby. You know, Peter Hewitt came to rugby late.
Not as late as you, buddy.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think it's
I can see a good and a bad side of it. I can see the good side is that it might attract some of Australia's young footballing talent or athletic talent.
Well, the highest paid footballer in Australia is a rugby union player now. Okay. So that's not bad.
Yeah,
for the game.
That's good for the game. Okay, it'll get those people who have previously might have played AFL or gone to rugby league or into soccer and said, okay, look. Money's going to factor, and a professional athlete, let's not fool ourselves. This is a job, okay? The money is a...
And it's a job with a very short shelf life.
Yep. That's right.
They get smashed for a
except
living.
Except if you play golf.
Hookers, you know, get... When I say hookers, I mean, you know, sex workers have an easier job than professional rugby players.
But the point being is that...
You'll probably get banged around less. Some of them would. So, yeah, if that's the positive, if it'll attract some of Australia's...
As long as they keep their heads
footballing talent into the game, I think that's a positive. Okay, on the downside, I think it sends the wrong message to, you know, the current crop of players.
Mm.
And the Force have done this a couple of times now. They're really testing the bound, AAU on a whole bunch of fronts. Mm. You know, firstly, we had the playing in New Zealand sort of in the Curry Cup.
When you play the NPC.
Basically, releasing their players to go to the NPC rather than for them to go play in Sydney club
and
comps.
And now we've got this...
It's only the Sydney people who are complaining about that.
Well, now we've got this contract bidding war, and it's not... I mean, I think the Brumbies have approached this very professionally, saying, fine, we're very sorry to see him go. We would have liked him to stay. He's enjoyed his rugby.
Larkham's put in a comment of saying, well, it would have been nice if he had hung around to put back into what he got out of ACT.
Well, Bernie's going to take that view Bernie basically...
He's a diehard Canberra.
Yeah, and his dad's the president of the local union, for God's sake, so...
it's disappointing, but, you know, I think the Brumbies approached it quite well. You know, Andrew Fagan, the Brumbies CEO, has kind of come out and said, yeah, we're disappointed to see him go and we can understand why. I think it would have been a very hard decision for him. You know, does he stay? Oh, he's living at home, for God's sake. You know,
in Cherrybombra, for God's sake.
You know, does he stay at home where he's got the support net? He's probably, you know, he's lived here his whole life. You come.
Who wasn't saying that he wants to move? If he has to move out of home, leave his mum. He can't move out in Canberra, so he has to go to.
We know he's enjoying his rugby here, but Jesus Christ, you know, someone waves $1.5 million in your face a year, gee, you'd be bloody tempted to
take it. But also, I mean,
first opportunity to move out of home, live with your mates, hang out, pick up chicks, and not have to worry about mum's going to come knocking on the door at 6 in the morning.
I don't think mum knocks on the door at 6 in the morning.
I don't know.
I don't know what the relationship is, but it's got to be.
Mrs. Gitto, if you want to dial in and tell us what's going on, okay, we're taking calls now.
But
1-800.
But hang on, Cherrybombra, it's not even like he's living in Kingston or one of the fun suburbs in Canberra. He's living out in the arse of nowhere in what's damn close to... One of the slums of Canberra.
It depends what your priorities are.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to, if that's your priority, like gardening, go out and You know, obviously that was Matt Henjak's priority.
Yeah, but he's got to have access. He's got to have access to quality hairdresser. You can't tell me he's getting his hair done in Jerrabombra.
No, he might do.
I don't think
so. Might be. You know, I might do it. All right,
let's obviously do an expose on the hairdressers in Jerra. Okay, so any hairdressers in Jerra, yeah, call in as well.
Or okay. Send that email to rugby@theridact.com.
That's right. And give John Boy a serve. Yeah. No, I think, look, if someone waved the money in his face, you'd take it.
I'd be off to Perth.
I'd be there.
Okay, guys, as long as they keep their head screwed on with all this money being waved around, like, you look at the rugby league players, all they do is they get up, their manager rings them up in the morning, drags them to training. From there, they go home, they sit down, beanbag, play PlayStation.
Or Xbox.
For the rest of the day until they have to go to their afternoon session of training, and then after that they go on the piss or hang out or go to dinner or whatever, and the next morning that's how it
well, is, day in, day out. That's what I'd do. No question.
But yeah, we're
crochet or something. I don't know.
Would be nice to have a little bit more experience. Yeah. Or, yeah.
Well, what do we do? We get up at 7 in the morning, head off to work at 8. Set in the office all day, type of
it.
Send a few emails, probably
gives us a bit more perspective of life that we actually have to get up and go to work.
As opposed to being driven to training by our managers.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
I know, Dick drives himself. I've seen him hooning around his BMW after.
He's going to have to put the BMW on the Indian Pacific, is he? Or do you think a new car?
Oh, no, he'd leave that with mum and dad.
Oh, I bet there'll be plenty of cars.
I think the bigger issue here, I mean, apart from losing the gig, which we're obviously very disappointed about, is the impact that this contract will have on the rest of...
Future contracts.
The rest of the rugby world.
Now, the AAU is disappointed because they don't like the idea of the money not going through them. They'd much rather sponsors put all the money into the AAU and the AAU decide.
Of course they would.
Can't blame them for that. I mean, it's like governments. I want to put them. We'll take the money into general revenue and then apply it how we want it.
But it does. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out. Okay, because there is a real danger that the money starts getting thrown around, and the force have been greater. I mean, we have had criticism of the Waratahs this season about they've bought themselves a fantastic team.
Well, no, to be fair, the Waratahs have developed their team they've got rather than
Yeah, look, the smaller unions will not compete. We're specifically talking in the Brumbies, Reds probably...
There's enough head offices in Brisbane that they can afford to truck around these kind of stuff.
Okay, so what we're suggesting here is the federal government should sponsor the Brumbies.
Well, it's a company town, yeah. that won't happen, so we've got a problem.
But there's another point, is that...
maybe the CPSU.
The force were complaining that they needed more money from the AAU. Oh, yeah. And then suddenly they turned around and offered this...
No, they didn't offer it, mate. They were offering $250 million.
Yeah, okay. So the force is playing bugger all.
The force were crying poor, and then suddenly they...
It's big Western Australia.
Throwing around a lot of money.
The force aren't throwing the money around. Mm. It's other people throwing the money around. The force, I'm sure, would much prefer to have been given the money.
All right, I think we've done this one to death. And another one is the Spears gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they've been told. They've been told it's not happening.
They've still got a court case in the works.
Bring on the Spears. No, they said they will look at a court case. Yeah. At starting their own court case, and they're disappointed that nobody from Sanzo South African rugby has. They've only come to see one game, and they're saying that the Southern Spears aren't developed enough and aren't professional enough to join the competition.
What, as opposed to the Cats? Come on.
Well, that's why they need a playoff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, don't you? We've all got the Cats. We've got the Cats and the Force. Force staying. And, of course, they almost did out the Crusaders. Let's face it. And they've got big Western Australian mining money.
Well, that's only going to last as long as the Chinese boom's on. They go through their busts.
Yeah, that'll be a while.
Yeah, about 10 years.
And, we've got the Cats. The Cats, the pinnacle of...
Ineptness.
Ineptness, that's right.
The Calamity Cats.
And so what have they got to lose?
Yeah, I think it would be good.
Apart from all the Cats, I wish
Australian rugby had the depth where we could seriously had other provinces pushing established teams forward and being able to say
for that Adelaide team to step up to the mark, eh?
Well, if Adelaide and Melbourne or if they had divided Australia into proper provinces some time ago with maybe three New South Wales provinces, Queensland,
we could have the Darwin Cyclones and the.
Well, let's face it, if there was three provinces in New South Wales, one would be North Sydney, South Sydney and Eastern Sydney.
That sounds remarkably like NRL.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, no, look, I think it would be nice if we had a national club competition in this country. It would be fantastic.
Isn't that coming next year? Was that supposed to be coming this year?
It's always coming the year after next.
We will see it.
It's been coming the year after next for as long as I can remember.
I think we will see it.
I just don't think the powers that be are too fat and comfortable in the current situation.
Of course they
are. I think Australia needs to go through a decade of failure like the last year before they'll get serious.
Oh, well, not lose the World Cup. You might get knocked out before the quarters.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, what a shame.
Yeah.
Mm. It's because George Smith is playing too well.
Yeah. George Smith, the one man back row.
Well, he pretty much is.
Okay, then. I think we're going to break now, are we?
Let's go to a song and come back with the tips.
Alright, that was Ape House with their song She Plays Like a Hit Single. Interesting title.
Yes. Tips for last week. Well, I did pretty poorly on 3. Tim Bell also got 3. John stepped up with 4. And woo! Katina, the winner of the round, on 5. The only thing she didn't get was the Crusaders' force draw.
I don't think that was a clean sweep.
I don't think anyone really tips a draw, do they?
Nah. No. But she picked it. And
it's coming down the wire.
And we might see tips 2 rounds in a row. And both times she'd come out and proved us wrong.
She has.
Yep.
We won't do that again, will we?
Oh, yes, we will.
The standing as it is this week is I'm on 47, John's on 45, Timbo's 46, Katina 45, catching up with the pack. And
2 rounds to go, plus double points for finals.
Yeah. So
not that finals ever go points, against form. But,
and 2 points in it.
Mm.
So... this week, first off, we have Highlanders Waratahs in Dunedin. House of Pain, how do you think they're going to greet the Tars?
Have they got their fly half back yet?
No.
No.
I thought Nick Evans was actually out for the season. I don't care, mate. Waratahs too strong here.
Have a love the boy.
Waratahs have been playing title rugby this season, and they're going
to win. Yeah, Waratahs to win.
Yeah, Katina's gone to Tars, and so have I.
My God,
I thought
I'd actually heard you blokes say that. I'm going to tip the Tars.
Mm.
What's wrong with you?
Well, they've been winning a lot.
Bastards.
I mean, I've got to say, let's take a second look at this. I'm not changing my tip, but it's getting colder. Dunedin is going to become more and more formidable as a base for Otagans.
Otagans?
Otagans.
Just like Perthians.
Perth Cairns.
Perth Cairns.
Yeah.
Dunedin Knights.
Dunedin Knights.
How many more games do the Highlanders have at home?
This is it.
Waratah's too strong.
Waratah's too strong, but I think we'll see an improved showing from the Highlanders here.
We'll see a better season from the Highlanders next year when they have their home games later on in the season.
Yes, indeed.
All right, the big game for the round, the Cats versus the Force. Will this be the first win for the Force?
Has the Force been practicing their victory song?
Yes, what was it? I will destroy you.
Yeah.
Oh, this will be interesting, okay. This is Cats at home.
Yep.
Cats at home. Cats haven't had a win either. So there'll be a lot of South Africans tipping the Cats.
They've had a win. Their first game of the season.
Okay, yes, that's right. Okay. But there'll be a lot of people tipping the Cats.
It's been a long time
actually,
between drinks.
The Cats should to knock over the Force.
The Cats will be saying, hey, here's our chance, guys.
Here's our chance. So this will be interesting. We've got two cellar dwellers, both thinking that they've got good opportunity to advance and put some shining light onto their season.
Mm.
Force obviously the best chance they've had so far.
Thing is, I think the Force have been playing well and losing not that much, with a couple of exceptions.
But the Cats have been playing
crap. Cats have been just crap. So
yeah, I'm tipping the Force.
Alrighty, well.
The Force have to come good for me at some point this season.
Okay, boys. Well,
this is it.
The three of us have tipped the Force. However, Katina, the tipper at the late of the season, has gone the Cats.
Oh, no, go on. She's true to form. Mm-hmm. Team at home.
Yeah, she's,
neither team coming off a win.
We keep on telling her, but no, rule number one is never tip the Cats.
We're going to actually publicise these rules at some point.
I think so. And
see how they go. We'll have a control group.
We should just run the rules as a tipping group as well. Yeah, yes, we'll do that for next season.
Next year. Tune in next year.
Canes versus the Chiefs in Wellington.
Canes.
Canes.
Canes for these two boys. Canes for myself. And guess what? Katina's going the Chiefs.
She could come out with a couple of like.
She could blitz us all here.
Yeah. Now, I mean, let's look at the game though. The Chiefs have been relying on the boredom factor of Cowtown for three rounds now, and suddenly they're going to have to go to the Bright City. They'll be disorientated. They'll be very confused. The Hurricanes will be, in a way, cursing the one that got away against the Brumbies. They were in there with a chance to win right up to the dying minutes. They're going to come back stronger. Umaga's going to be fitter.
Nonno's going to drop a few more shoulder charges in and not get pulled up for it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's those dreadlocks that disorientate the referee.
Like, thrash your head around a bit. You're looking posing. I mean, the ref's really little. Nonno's a big fella. Okay. It looks like he could dump you at any time. He'll kiss you, one of the two.
I don't know which would be scarier.
Well, him kissing me.
It should be a close game.
There's the movie waiting to be made.
Let's face it, it should be a close game. The Chiefs have shown that they can win the close games. And, you know, the Hurricanes.
The Canes have won the close games as well.
Canes have won the dirty games. They haven't looked good, but they've come out winners. I got to say, out of those two teams of dirty, as in dirty games where neither team really is ascendant, I think the Canes will come out on top.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're always worried if you're playing against Jerry Collins if he's going to hit you, aren't you? If you're playing with him, for God's sake.
That's right. One on the pitch after the game.
Brumbies versus Reds, at home in Canberra.
Brumbies! And let's hope the temperature just keeps dropping.
Yeah, the Reds will struggle here.
Anzac Day is a traditional day of start of winter in Canberra type thing.
It's only because we're up at 5:30 for the only time of the year.
So, I think the Reds, after sort of losing composure last week, show that they can't sort of turn it on when they need to. The Brumbies midfield very, very solid and can easily shut down all the attacking weapons that the Reds contain.
Well, it'll be interesting how Beric Barnes goes against Fairbanks.
I think Beric will probably do over Gene.
Gene was playing this week?
Yeah, defensively Gene's fine, but, you know, Beric taking the ball to the line will give them more outside options. So Joel and Sterling will have to be on their game. Sterling against Ben Tune will be an interesting clash, obviously. Tune's got all the tricks.
Yeah.
So... that'll be.
Well, it's injury early.
That'll be kind of interesting. What will be a good test for the Brumbies is the forward clash.
Yeah, the two packs
because the Reds forward pack have been incredibly impressive. And certainly Rodney Blake has played himself into Wallabies contention. So,
yeah, the Brumbies,
about time we Brumbies got a decent play moving up there.
Yeah. So, Brumbies pack's going to have to step up, or there's going to be trouble at scrum time.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, but I think the Brumbies at home in the freezing cold, too good for the Reds.
All right, Cheetahs versus the Blues.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, this is the maybe runs. Nowhere in contention, probably unlikely to get anywhere, but Cheetahs can still do it if they get 5 points here, game, and 5 points last.
This is in Bloemfontein. Mm-hmm. Cheetahs travelling a long way home, though, and the Blues are already there. South Africans are always just glad to see home and see the biltong. I'm going to tip.
You don't really know, do you?
No, I don't.
This is
the I've got to say, after Blues' performance last week, they disappointed me. So, yeah, I'm going to Cheetahs.
I'm going to toss a coin.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go tails, Blues, heads, Cheetahs. I can only just catch the coin. What did I say?
Tails, Blues.
I'm going to tip the Blues here.
Okay, I'll go with the Cheetahs just to get 1 point ahead of you.
Not to even to come up even with me.
Oh, well, I'll do that on the other tips.
Alright, so Tembo's going the odd one out.
Yeah, I reckon.
You're
analytical sense. On a more analytical sense.
Remember what happened last time you reversed your tip?
Yeah, no, cheated.
It went for the Cheetahs.
Cheetahs, no, I'm having the Blues. Get the Blues. Bugger you, Cheetahs.
One at a time or all at the same time?
Katina's gone the Cheetahs. So that means you're definitely going to lose.
Oh, no, mate, Katina picked up five last week. She's the form tipper.
I know, that's what I'm saying. She went the Cheetahs, so you're going the Blues.
Oh, crap.
All right, probably the clash of the round for
the Muppets.
Well, no, the runners for the fourth spot, so the contenders for the fourth
place. This is going to knock someone out, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Bulls versus Sharks. And it's in Pretoria.
At Loftus. Loftus Versfeld. I just like saying that word.
Yeah, that's a cool... Well, why don't we have a rugby pitch named that?
That pitch used to be called Bruce, for God's sake.
Yeah, how much more Australian can get? Bruce.
Better than Canberra Stadium, for God's sake. No. We need a good sponsor. So any sponsors out there? We should call it Rydak Stadium. We'll sponsor.
Well, if someone wants to pony up the 250 grand, we'll do that, all right? The Western Australian Mining Company wants to funnel some money our way.
Pocket change, guys.
Yeah, call
1-800-555-RIDAC. No, email rugby@theRIDAC.com.
All right. Who are you boys going? Katina is going the Sharks.
It's going to be a hard game here.
Bulls at home.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get serious here.
All right.
Sharks are coming up from the coast.
Well, Katina's going the odd one out again, and we've all picked the Bulls.
And
she's going to the Sharks.
Tim here's having second thoughts.
I am having second thoughts, actually.
Oh, no, the drama!
I wish you wouldn't do this. Really. No, Bulls.
Bulls
at
home, sorry. Okay.
Okay.
What am I doing? I'm just playing with you.
All right. Now, what should be an easy win for the Crusaders should be Crusaders versus the Stormers.
In Cape Town.
Stormers actually won a game. Well,
hang on. The other thing, Crusaders are resting Richie McCaw because he's scared of the Stormers.
Scared.
Yeah.
What do you mean scared?
They're scared he'll get smashed by him, so they take him out of the game. Their captain is not playing because he's too scared to face the Stormers.
Why would you just crunch bloody Dan Carter instead?
I don't know.
Because he gets to steal the ball.
I reckon if you nail Dan Carter and you nail Leonard McDonald, and let's face it, the Stormers have plenty of big ugly dudes on the bench prepared to punch a fella.
Yeah.
All right.
Get a 16-week ban.
You get a 16-week ban or whatever. Yeah, 16-week ban's nothing.
Yeah.
The Stormers would actually have a good chance of doing over here.
Yeah, but I think the message it sends for the Crusaders to be too scared to play their captain against the Stormers.
I hope they do put him in. I hope he does get smashed. So he's there in 2 weeks' time. So,
well, you reckon Schottberger's going to have a run on the pitch, Dan?
I just think that the signal it sends is that it is terrible, and I would never have thought of tipping the Stormers, but...
You're going to.
I don't know. I don't think I am. I think I'll still tip the Crusaders, but I'm just astounded by the...
Both teams. Okay, well, you just said this. They like the biltong when they get home.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming home. They're coming home. They're coming off a win.
Yeah.
And it is the end of the season where, I guess, the Crusaders...
Crusaders normally come home with a wet sail after losing the first three games.
Yeah.
But...
this could be interesting, actually.
It'll be interesting. I'll still tip the Crusaders because I think they're still too strong across the park.
Crusaders total rugby?
Yeah.
80 minutes of rugby. That's probably the big issue.
Go DeWitt, hit somebody. Like, I think the best winner here would be lots injuries. Of injuries on both sides.
Lots and lots.
Not that the Stormers are a contender, but just lots of Crusaders injuries, please.
Oh, yeah, well, we're thinking international season here as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, I mean, lots of Crusaders injuries. The Brumbies have got to play them in a couple of weeks. So,
2 weeks.
Yeah, look, I'm going to tip the Crusaders here as well. Yeah.
Alrighty, so... Again, the three boys are going to the Crusaders.
So, Jesus Christ, Katina's going to come up with a whole bunch of wins here. She could leap into them.
Yep, so the boys are going the tried and true and safe path of the Crusaders, and Katina's gone to the Stormers. Mm. So, out of those, what is it, six or seven games, she's picked the Cats over the Force, the Chiefs over the Canes.
Oh, the Brumbies. You said the Brumbies. That's fair.
And the Bulls over the... Oh, sorry, the Sharks over the Bulls and the Stormers over the Crusaders. So, that could be Buku points in her backyard.
Mate, she'll end up with 50 points and we'll be struggling on 48.
Yeah.
Well, either that or it's good night.
Good night, Irene. Speaking of good night, I think that's about it for this evening.
And that's it from us. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for joining us again.
This Monday, the 24th of April. And
we'll be back next Monday.
Lovely.
Okay.